Ed eccoci qui all'interno di Extranet questa notte con Adrian Sherwood, sicuramente uno tra i leader nello spazio della musica dub. Buonasera Adrian, volevo sapere quanto la musica underground degli anni 80 ti ha influenzato.
I started basically making records in the 70s and I'd been listening to records from the 60s and I was a fan of the records in the 70s as a young person. So I think with my own productions the influence of the 70s is much more appropriate than the 80s. I was listening to a lot of the great messages from the early reggae records, which had messages of revolution, of hope for mankind, of self-improvement. And I was a big fan of the reggae from kind of 72, 73, 74, right through to 1980. And it's only recently that I've really got much more into what was going on with the digital revolution. Yeah, the electrical thing in the 80s. But I'm more of a fan of the 70s and the spirit of that music than I am of the 80s.
Cosa intendi con il termine estetica del dub?
Dub aesthetics, I think what's happened is dub started in the dance halls of Jamaica, where it derived from what people call version. You'd have on the A side a song, and on the B side you would have the version. That would originally just be an instrumental. Then in the dance halls, you'd have a DJ shouting over the version. So to make the versions more exciting, the Jamaicans, using the same rhythm, started stripping the rhythm out and doing dubs, which were very sparse and using delays. Then you had innovators like Augustus Pablo doing musical versions of the dubs and making them even more almost like a painting to us, changing the colours, yeah. And then you had other versions where you'd have different singers on the same rhythm, different DJs. So version became dub, and nowadays dub is used all the time. People from techno, hip-hop, even pop music are doing, dub versions. But real dub is derived from a song and a version, and the best dub to me still is in the minor chord, the black keys, more haunting, more mesmerising. So I mean, dub has now become a very easy word that everybody's a dub producer, everybody's making dub in their bedrooms. But an understanding of it is not as simple as just a convenience, no. And as a genre, dub was not particularly, say, popular in Jamaica as it was perhaps in England or America or other countries. But the idea of it is fantastic. It's the most spacious music in the world because it's uncluttered. There's a space and a hole. And with good dub music, you hear things that aren't even there. You imagine things in your own mind. And that's a good dub mix for me, yeah. I think with world music has got a bit of a... It's unfair using the tag world music because it's lovely that you've got things that are completely belonging to, like, Napoli, for instance, has got its own Neapolitan style of music, or you've got music from Africa and all over that is very special to its native area. Nowadays, you've got people where you've got fusions of music and genres and styles, and we'll have a bit of tabla, we'll have a bit of Arabic, we'll have a bit of this, and it's all well and good applying that to dance music, but it hasn't really got a great amount of substance to it, whereas somebody might have spent years and years studying his or her instruments to become a proper musician, and then somebody would just sample it and incorporate it on a boof, 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 boof dance beat. Well, that's the modern world, and the internet's part of the modern world. So I think the internet has helped people in some countries where they can communicate where they couldn't before, get information they couldn't before. It's fantastic. And I don't think it's something to be... It's just the way the world's moving. I think with music, you've got now... it's like you can get a plane anywhere. People travel more than they ever did. People from countries that people who never used to travel from countries that never used to go anywhere, they're travelling now. Everybody's travelling. Ideas are exchanging. And I think with music, it's gone very much that way as well. You haven't got like undiscovered things anymore or secret little science of that. Yeah, it belongs to everybody now. Everybody thinks. Every little shade's theirs. They think it all belongs to them now.
Oggi è possibile parlare di generi musicali ben definiti e quanto internet ha contribuito al fenomeno delle contaminazioni?
For me, I don't think with Jamaican music, that was my first love. I really heard, when I was at school, I was listening to pop music, T-Rex, Rod Stewart, everything else, like anyone else was. At my school, we had lots. In England, we've got a very mixed society, much more than Italy. We've got West African, East African, Caribbean, Indian, yeah, and all in the same class. So I was listening to, at the time, lots of Tamil and Motown. We're all into soul, James Brown, and then all the West Indians are playing reggae, and I just fell in love with it. I fell in love completely with the sounds. I also liked a lot of the other Caribbean things, like the calypso, you know, going to parties. I got the bug for it, and I fell completely in love with reggae. So I wasn't doing reggae consciously trying to make it my own or do a Western angle, but I lived in England. Now, what happened for me, which was probably my experience, was I got particularly into the dub stuff as well, and I worked with Prince Farai. Now, by working with him, he said to me, and it was very from an early age I discovered, he said, it's my sound. If you listen to Prince Farai's productions, he had a very unique, very slow, very heavy, very sparse, maybe using three instruments in his voice, and it was definitely his sound. And working on the dub records with him, we developed a good understanding. We got a kind of an identity for that. But I heard that everyone was saying, if you listen to a Lee Perry record, he's got his own sound. If you listen to the Joe Gibbs productions, it's not actually Joe Gibbs, it's Errol Thompson, but Errol Thompson's got his sound. Pablo had his sound. King Tubby had his own sound. And I consciously tried to create my own sound, believing that it would make my career last. And if you can be identifiable, it's a good thing. So I spent the first few years formulating it, and then I tried consciously to develop a sound of my own. Yeah, but I wasn't trying to revolutionise Jamaican music.
Like your music.
Yeah, well, I've done reggae. I've worked with some of the top musicians from America, Keith LeBlanc, Doug Wimbish, and Skip McDonald. I've done acoustic recordings, noise recordings, but my main love still is reggae, and I've applied those techniques to anything I've done. But I wasn't consciously trying to add a European angle. I was using, you know, proper Jamaican production techniques and trying to use my own sound to help myself, really.
Cosa pensi del file sharing? Favorevole o contrario?
File sharing, where people send the samples and things like that. I think it doesn't matter. I mean, at the end of the day, if you've got a good idea, a good song, at the end of the day, a good song, if you're making music commercially, people want songs, really. Nowadays, record sales are dying. They're plunging. They're going less and less and less. So, but people will still want, you'll find a good song and to be entertained. Now, people are being entertained by beats and samples and noises. It's how good you are at manipulating those sounds and noises. So if you gave 10 people the same files, the person with the best ideas and the best feel will still make the best rhythms. Doesn't matter.
Ringraziamo Adrian Sherwood per la disponibilità. Spero di averti quanto prima all'interno dei nostri spazi sonori.